Good morning. What's going on? Anybody excited to be here today? All right. Hey, my name is Nathan. It is awesome to be here. We're in a series called Alive and Free, looking at the things that are killing us. And we've been on this journey for 3 weeks now. Well, this is third week, 2 weeks. And we kind of come to this conclusion that we all have some things. And you know what your stuff is. You know what your things are, right? In life that are killing us. And it's stealing our joy. It's stealing our purpose. It's keeping us from the life that God has for us. So we're attacking them straight on. And we've talked about guardrails. And we've talked about comfort. And today, we're going to talk about an emotion. Now, I want to kind of be up front. Usually, we kind of hunker down in one spot, but today we're going to kind of be all over. And today is going to be a very topical conversation. And so I want you to imagine that as we're having this conversation, that we're kind of just like on a front porch together, and we're sitting and we're talking. We're just talking to one another, and no one else is here. But it's going to be a conversation on a topic, and I know what's going to happen because it happened earlier. Some of you are going to be, hey, I don't need to hear this. I don't want to hear this. Like, this is for somebody else, but I'm glad you're talking about it, but it's not for me. So a lot of times we do that when we're talking about killing things, but I want you to look within today. And so we're killing things that are killing us. Why? Because Jesus said this, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full, that Jesus has a life for us. And that word full means extraordinary and uncommon, that he has a life for us, that he wants us to step into. But to get to that life, we got to kill the things that are killing us. And so we're going to continue on that journey today. But do you guys know this? I want you to think about this. The easiest person for you to fool is you. Have you ever thought about that? Like, it's really easy to deceive ourselves. It's really easy to think we're better than we are or worse than we are, or that we have a certain skill or don't have a certain skill, that we may struggle with certain things or not struggle with certain things. It's really easy to deceive ourselves. I know growing up, one thing I love, and I don't talk about this a lot, but I love music. Anybody love music? Like, I absolutely love music, and I love all genres of music. My favorite music is probably country nowadays. I guess some of y'all call it pop country. I don't care. I like it, right? But I love music. I love the lyrics. You know, I love looking at the meanings of songs. I love all that. And I really do love to sing. And growing up, I thought I could sing a little bit. And so one day, I was like, I want to see how good I actually am. I don't know why, but I did. And I had one of those, you know, phones that you would slide up and the keyboard would pop out. You know what I'm talking about? Like a little slide phone. And I went on LimeWire. Come on, how many of you know LimeWire in here, right? I went and I illegally downloaded a song. It said 36 years for it to download, but it happened in just a couple hours. And I played the song and I recorded myself singing that song. And I sang as good as I could sing. Like, I belted it out. And I didn't know what I expected to hear. But what I heard was like a baby deer screeching, right? And like, it was awful. I'm like, for the first time in my life, I'm not kidding. I'm like, I can't sing. Like, and no one's told me I can't sing. Like, no one's told me in 16 years I cannot sing. Like, and you guys think you love me? You don't tell me this? And now, a little side note, my wife can sing very well, but very good. But you know who actually loves to hear me sing better than her? My daughter, right? That's why she's my best friend, right? Like daddy's girl, right? She loves to hear me sing, but I can't sing. And so I know there's some blind spots about me. I bet there's some blind spots about you and your life. And these blind spots, again, they convince us of certain things. They cause us to justify behavior. They don't allow us to see what we need to see. And the reason I'm talking about this is if we're going to step in this alive and free life, if you just simply say, I want God to come in my life, I want Jesus to change my life, I don't like the direction that things are going, you have to fight the temptation to fool yourself. You have to fight the temptation to not look past your blind spots. You have to fight the temptation to say, okay, what is actually going on and where do I actually fall short? Because what you don't recognize in you, you can't manage. That if you don't recognize a shortcoming, if you don't recognize a struggle, it's going to be really difficult to overcome it. It's going to be really difficult to fight. It's going to be really difficult to kill it or to control it. So today, here's what we're going to do. Today, we're going to have to look within and not fool ourselves with the relationship with the word that we're about to see on the screen. And it's a word that is so divisive, and it's not that big of a deal, but it's a word that, it's an emotion that feels so natural for some of us that some of you, as soon as I say it, you're going to like, I don't want to talk about it, right? Here we go. This word right here, anger. Everybody say anger. 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 How many of you know people who struggle with anger? All right, good. Like, I won't ask you the other question. We all know somebody. And so what we want to start doing is we want to start going on this journey together. We need to start changing the way we think about anger. And when it comes to this life of following Jesus, a lot of it comes down to changing the way we think. Romans, it's a letter, and it says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. And what that means is, like, we don't want to have the reactions that the world has. We don't want to look like the world. We want to look like we live for a different kingdom because we do. So don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. We can throw this in. Don't handle anger the way the world does. But let God transform you into a new person. So God's trying to transform us into somebody new. Let God transform you. How? By changing the way you think. Change what you think, He'll change what you do. Then you will learn to know God's will. And God's will is that we live alive and free, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at this emotion called anger. And here's what I'm going to tell you right away. We're not going to say never have anger. We're not going to say suppress it. We're going to look at one simple word. We're going to say, how do we learn to navigate and control our anger? Not suppress, not avoid, but control. Because being aware of an emotion allows us to manage it and us to control it so it doesn't control us. We're going to take the driver's seat instead of that emotion controlling us. And here's what is awesome. God tells us in His word, hey, control it. There's a book called Ecclesiastes, and it's kind of this wisdom book where you go to find kind of wisdom or guidance, and sometimes it's really depressing, but every once in a while it says something amazing. It just sticks out. It says, control your temper. How many of you know somebody has a temper? Come on now. Yeah. How many of you are sitting next to somebody? No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that, right? Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. And here's why I know. I don't know all of you, but I know nobody wants to be labeled a fool. Nobody wants to be labeled a fool. Nobody wants to look foolish. No one wants to be made out to look like a fool. So we're going to control it so it doesn't control us, because we don't want to be labeled a fool. So let's have some fun. Let's start off right here. This is easy. What makes you angry? Just yell it out. What makes you angry? Yeah, there you go. Awesome, right? You got a whole list, right? Like, and some of you are like, hey, every time you make me raise your hand, well, we're going to do that anyways, right? Like, what makes you angry? You all have a list. And maybe you're just angry about the way things are going in life. You look around like, man, this is not how I thought it was going to go. Maybe you're angry with someone you're married to right now. Maybe you fought on the way to church. I know it happens, right? Like, it happens. And you come in the front door smiling, but we know you're fighting on the way here. Maybe you're angry with work. Maybe you're like, dude, I'm just angry with how much everything costs. Anybody with me on that? Like, hey, everything's expensive. Maybe you're angry with God. You're like, God, if you love me, this wouldn't happen. This wouldn't happen. Maybe the question isn't what makes you angry. It's who makes you angry, right? And maybe that who is sitting right next to you. That's my Dr. Seuss for you today, right? Maybe the who makes you angry is sitting next to you today. Maybe it's a bunch of people. And maybe the question should be, who doesn't make you angry these days? And we all have a list. You know, I got a list. I got some things. I've been thinking about it all week. One thing I said first service, I said, hey, you know what I don't like? When people call me buddy. Like, bro, I'm not your buddy, right? I'm not your buddy. You can call me bro. You can call me man. You can call me a lot of things. Just don't call me buddy, right? Like, especially if you're younger than me. Like, don't call me buddy. I can't stand. I get really mad at bad drivers. Anybody else? Like, man, I can't stand it. I feel like I talk about driving every week up here. Like, I just can't stand it. What about lateness, right? I can't stand lateness. If we say we're going to meet and eat lunch at 1 o'clock, that means we're sitting down and we're eating it. We're ordering by 1 o'clock. Don't roll up at 1:10. Like, 1:10, I'm done, bro. Like, we're going somewhere else. I get angry at that. Oh, this makes me really, really mad. The meeting, we're texting back and forth. We're having a good conversation. Or it's coming towards the end of the conversation, and then you send me a thumbs up emoji. Like, don't send me a thumbs up emoji, right? Like, what does that even mean? Use your words, okay? But what makes you angry? We all have something that makes us angry. And here, I kid you not, this week, I knew I was talking about this, and I was like, I want to control my anger this week. And I thought I did really good this week. Did I do pretty good? Okay, right? Pretty good. And then yesterday happened. What happened yesterday? Well, we went grocery shopping. And it was me, my wife, and Natalie, who's 2, and then we went to Peru to go to Kroger. And Natalie, I swear, God's like, hey, I'm going to just test you through your daughter. That whole time we're there, she's pushing every button that I have that I didn't know I had, right? And I want to explode. Then we go to the checkout. I'm like, how much does this cost? Like, man, everything's expensive. And so, like, when I talk about anger, like, I got my reasons. But here's the reality. And this is really hard to hear, and I don't even want to say it because then I'm accountable for this, and then every time you guys see me, now you're going to hold me accountable, but I get to do the same thing to you, okay? Here we go. Reasons never remove. Everybody say remove. Reasons never remove responsibility. Uh-oh. That's not fun, is it? My reasons to be mad at somebody never removes my responsibility that Jesus said, hey, you treat people like they matter. I wish it did. I wish he said, treat everybody that treats you like a jerk like a jerk. Like, I wish that happened, but it didn't. It never, my reason never removes my responsibility to love and honor my spouse. My reason to get angry never removes my responsibility that Jesus calls me to lead with forgiveness. My reasons to get angry, no matter how justified they may be, and maybe they are, never removes my responsibility as my first calling in life to be a follower of Jesus. Right? Reasons never remove responsibility. You're like, hey, bro, you don't understand what they did. Or should I say buddy? Buddy, you don't understand, man. You don't understand what they did. You don't know how they hurt me. And I don't. But I know this, and I'll be really open. Anger has been something that's defined me for far too long. Anger was something that was an emotion that had a control and grip on my life. And you know, I don't know if you're going to believe this, but growing up, my mouth got me in trouble all the time. I love to talk, and I would just spew something out of my mouth. I wasn't even thinking. I would just say something out of anger, out of frustration. I had a lot of built-up anger growing up because of my childhood, because of losing my dad and all these things. Like, and I would explode, and I would just explode. And then college, you go to Bible college. And in Bible college, I tried to fight everybody. Who goes to Bible college and tries to fight people, right? And then I get married, and then the person I love most in this world, she has to tell me over again, hey, your anger is hurting me. Your anger is getting the best of you, right? And I don't want that. And you don't want that in your life. So I know what it's like to dance with anger. I know what it's like to have this emotion. And here's what I also know. If we don't learn to control anger, again, I didn't say suppress it. I didn't say not have it. I said don't. If we don't learn to control, it brings chaos and disaster into our lives. And here's what's really dangerous. Studies have shown that when it comes to anger, and it shows a lot of people struggle with anger, but you know who we actually hurt the most in our anger? It's not actually the people that we're always angry with. You know who you often hurt with anger? The ones you love the most. Your spouse, your kids, your friends. That's who we hurt the most. And if, you know, as a parent, I think about this, like, listen, like, how our relationship or how we deal with and control anger in our lives, when our kids grow up one day, how do you think they're going to control and handle their anger? That's really difficult. That puts us on the spot. And here's what I know. It brings chaos and disaster. And it's such a strong emotion. Like, when you get angry, like, can you guys kind of feel it? Like, you just feel like, I know when I'm angry because, like, I start sweating, right? Like, I'm angry, right? Like, I got to hold it in. If I start sweating a little bit, like, I can feel it. And all of a sudden, anger, if it's not controlled, becomes the go-to emotion for stress, for frustration, when things are tough, when things don't go your way. And here's what I know about you without knowing you. No one wants their story, or no one wants anger to control their story. No one wants anger to control their story. The ones you love don't want anger to control your story. The ones that love you don't want anger to be your boss. You don't want it to be your boss. No one wants to get to the end of their life and say, you know what, that was a really good man, a really good woman. But man, they just couldn't control their anger. No one wants that. No one wants that, right? You don't want that, I don't want that. So here's what's on stake today, or here's kind of why we're talking about this. Let's just learn to control anger so it doesn't control us. And to do that, we're going to do something that Paul wrote in a letter. We're going to examine ourselves. You're going to examine yourselves to see if your faith, and this is what it comes down to. A lot of times anger, like we want our faith to be stronger than our anger. We want Jesus in us to work stronger than our anger. We want to examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine and test yourselves. And so here's what's happening. I know what's happening. Right now, some of you are like, hey, this isn't for me, right? This isn't for me. I don't struggle like this. I don't explode like Nathan's talking about. This is just not me. Well, here's what we know. We know people handle emotions differently, but we all know that everybody gets angry. Everybody gets angry. Again, almost all of you raised your hand. And we can use two words, and there's many different words to describe it, but there's either steamers or screamers. There's either steamers or screamers. And you know what a steamer does? You guys brag a little bit, right? You're like, hey, I don't get angry. What you do is you just steam. You just press it down, and you press it down, and you press it down. right? And maybe you do a silence treatment, right? Maybe your anger, you don't yell, but you cry, right? Anybody cry in their anger? Don't raise your hand, right? You suppress your, so you start steaming. And then one day, your husband is putting around I'm just using this for example. It's never happened, okay? One day, you're putting the eggs in the refrigerator, and all of a sudden you explode on something. You're like, bro, I'm just putting away eggs, right? Because you steamed, and it's a little thing that sets you off. So there's steamers. Anybody know a steamer? Yeah, okay, awesome, right? And then there's screamers. That's what I do. I don't like to do it, but I do it. And so I like to say this, we express ourselves. You know what I mean? We express ourselves, and we let it out. And you let it out. Why do you let it out? Because it feels good, doesn't it? Like, man. Now you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to regret what happens on the other side of it. But in those 5 seconds of glory, it feels really good. So there's screamers and steamers. We all deal with it. We're going to examine ourselves. So I want to give you the best advice I've ever heard on anger. And it's not from my words. It's not from some letter. It's not from some just random person. It's from a letter, an ancient letter that we find in the Bible. And it's called Ephesians. It's written to a group of Christians in a town called Ephesus, an area called Ephesus. It's written by a man named Paul, and Paul would go around. He would help churches get on track or help plant churches and help Christians walk in their faith. And Ephesians is a letter written to a church, and he's helping get on track. And they're kind of losing their way a little bit, but they kind of have this struggle. And maybe it's like you and I. Some of them are somewhat new to the faith, new to following Jesus, and they have a past, and everybody has a past. But they're trying to step in this new life. They know that Jesus offers more, and they know that Jesus has more. You can say alive and free life for them. But they keep going back to some of the old habits and the old way of living. And Paul basically says, hey, live a life worthy of your calling. Live the life that Jesus has for you. And then we get to chapter 4. Now, in the original way, when he wrote this letter, there would be no chapters, so there would be sections. But we get to this section of his letter that is very practical in nature. And he talks about a lot of things. It's chapter 4 in the modern Bible, in verse 26 and 27. And he says this. He says, don't sin by letting anger control you. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. That's the best advice I've ever seen, ever read, right? And so here's what he's saying. He doesn't say, don't get angry. He doesn't say, hey, never have anger. He's like, no. Don't let it control you. He says right here, don't let anger control you. And so why I like to read this, and it says, like, there are things that should make you angry. Scholars call it a righteous anger. And righteous anger is what you find that Jesus actually had. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus goes to the temple, and there's tax collectors there, and it's kind of corrupt, and he walks in, and what does he do? Out of anger, he flips the tables, right? And everybody's like, he flips the tables because of, you know, money and all this, and they kind of use that story to justify their anger. But what's actually going on is Jesus flips the table out of frustration because they're keeping people from coming to God. They're having a corrupt system which is keeping people from coming to God. And Jesus is like, not in my house. And he flips the tables. So there's this anger that doesn't cause us to sin. There's this righteous anger. And so I actually believe that I think sometimes as Christians, we should get a little bit more angry at certain things than we do. Right? You know what I get angry about, and I want us to get angry about? I get angry at times, I'm going to be honest, when I look out in the world and what they're teaching next generation. Anybody with me? Like, I just get frustrated about that. I get angry that my dad died because of an addiction, and I get angry when I see other loved ones stuck or die from addiction. Anybody else get angry with that? I get angry at that. I hate that, right? I get angry when I hear about another young person who doesn't think there's any other way except to end their story. I get angry at that. I get angry at sex trafficking. I get angry at injustices, and I think we should get angry at those things. And anger is a natural response to injustice, the pain and frustration. You know what God does with that type of anger throughout history? God makes people or uses people to be move makers, to make a difference, to spread his kingdom. And he uses that type of frustration to move in us. And I think God places some of those frustrations in us to do something about it. That's not the type of anger, though, that Paul's talking about. That's a righteous anger. That type of anger, we should be motivated to change, and that's why we should be motivated to let people know of Jesus and tell them they matter. That type of anger motivates us to do that. But the anger that causes us to sin is the anger that's used to destroy people, hurt people, put down, manipulate, and hurt others. Paul says, in that type of anger, And what he's also saying is like, listen, I know there are people who are going to make you angry, and you all have the people who you know who make you angry. He's like, there are going to be things in this world that make you angry. But don't let that anger control you to the point that it leads you to sin. Don't let that anger control you so much to a point where it causes you to do something relationally that you don't want to do. It causes you to say something that you don't really want to say. It causes you to act in a way that you can't take back. It causes you to go against the very things you believe in your faith. He's like, in that anger, don't let it lead you to sin. And then he says, like, don't let it kind of sit around. Don't let the sun go down. And I used to think that's marriage advice, but it's just good advice in life. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Don't let it fester in your mind. Because you know what happens? Like, when I think about how mad I am at somebody, and I just start letting it control me, I start thinking some crazy things in my mind. Anybody with me? And then I go to bed angry, and guess what happens? I wake up angry, don't I? Right? Why are you angry? I don't know. I'm just angry, right? And this is the type of anger that when it gets the best of you, it brings out the worst in you. Anybody with me? And when I look at life, I make a lot of mistakes. And you know what? You know, sometimes I look back like, I wouldn't change that mistake because it left me here. It brought me here, right? And so there's so many things like that, but there's also a lot of things where I look at my life, it's like, man, how much chaos, destruction, and dumb stuff could I have avoided by just controlling anger so it didn't bring out the worst in me? How many fights could I have avoided? Anybody with me? Like, man, sometimes I just wake up like, I'm going to fight the fight today. Anybody with me? Like, let's just argue. Let's just be mad today, right? And Paul's like, listen, don't let it control you. And then he says there's a reason why. Because anger gives a foothold to the devil. That word foothold is an interesting word in the Greek. Because it basically is it's similar to the word room. Anger gives a room to the devil. Jesus told us what? He says the enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And now we're saying that the anger gives him a room. Where do you give him a room? Right here in your life. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Now, if someone knocked on your door and they said, hey, I want to stay in your house, in your guest room, and you know that they want to kill you, destroy you, and steal your stuff, are you going to let them in? No, right? Paul's saying that's exactly what Satan does with anger. Because anger gives, you know, in your anger, don't give the devil a guest room in your life. Because what he's going to do is he's going to squat there. And he ain't going to just take a room. He's going to leave that door cracked, and all of a sudden he's going to be in your refrigerator eating all your food. Right? He's going to go to the bathroom and leave all the towels on the floor, right? He's going to throw his dirty laundry everywhere. He's going to take this little crack that you give him. And he's going to find your way into your marriage, into your relationship, into your parenting. He's going to find a way in your habits, in your thoughts, in your emotions, and he's going to take this little thing, and he's going to find a guest room in your house that he's not going to want to leave. Anger gives the enemy an opportunity to expand small things into big things. Anybody married in a room? Do you guys ever find, like, you start fighting about something little, and then, like, some way down the road, you're like, okay, when do we actually get into a big fight, right? This little fight expand into something bigger. So Satan will take this little thought you have and expand into something bigger. And he wants to only destroy your story. He'll use anger to destroy your story. So Paul's like, you got to control it. Because he wants a guest room in your life. And you got to shut that door. And here's what we know about anger. It impacts now, but it impacts next. So you may struggle with it now, but if we don't control it now, it's going to impact your next relationship, your next, you know, kind of frustration, your next argument. So what we want to do is we want to control it. Control it, not suppress it, not have it, but control it. So here's what I want to do. I got 5 ways in the next 11 minutes. We're going to go fast. Boom, boom, boom. 5 ways in 11 minutes, right? That could be a book, right? 5 ways in 11 minutes, right? 5 ways in 11 minutes how to control our anger. And the first one is this. We don't do this enough, especially if you're a man. Identify the why. Why am I getting angry? Why is this triggering me? Why is this such an issue to me? I love what Proverbs says. It says, starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. What if we could stop the emotion of anger before it opened up chaos and disaster in our life? So we're figuring out, why does this trigger me? So I found this before, and it's kind of an illustration. Here's a table. On the table, it says I'm angry. And you can do this with any emotion, but you can do it with anxiety, depression, but we're doing it with angry. And all these legs represent why you're angry. And so for each of us, it would look differently. Maybe it's three legs, four legs, but we're trying to get to the thing beneath the thing. What is going on that's making me feel this way? And so maybe it's insecurity. Somebody said something to me that brought out an insecurity about me, and I responded with anger. Maybe it's just having a bad day. Do you ever just wake up, and for whatever reason, you're in a bad mood, right? Maybe you're just being angry today because you're in a bad mood, bad day. Okay, well, why do I have a bad day? Okay, you can start navigating through this. Maybe you're stressed. Some of us don't know how to express any other emotion except anger, especially when we're stressed. Maybe somebody says something that I don't agree with. Maybe it's history. Maybe it's how you've seen people your whole life respond to frustration, to something that upsets them. Maybe it's just what how your family reacts, right? Maybe it's history, or maybe it's something that might be true, but we start to navigate, why am I feeling this way? Because when you can navigate why, and you can figure out why, you know what we can start to do? We can start to control, we can start to manage, but if I don't know why, I can't stop the dispute before it comes. So identify the why, and then we have a choice to make. And this is hard. Choose devotion, not the emotion. If you want the alive and free life, when we're getting angry, and it's really hard to do, especially if you're a screamer and you just feel the anger, you have to think about the life that you want, and you have to think the life that you're called to. And I know it's really hard to do in a split second. I know it's really hard to do when you're in frustration, when you're in an argument. I know it's hard. But here's the life that I'm going to, and here's the life I'm trying to get. And so on this journey of this life, we're trying to pursue the life that Jesus has for us. And so we know that Jesus wants us alive and free. We know that he has a life and a purpose and a calling for our life, and that's the life we want to get to. And so every day we wake up, we have to make this choice of being devoted to him. And all along this journey and all along this path, there are going to be things that get really difficult to navigate through, and there's going to be times that test our devotion. Well, anger and other emotions are one of those times. So when I feel angry and I know I'm about to explode, when I know something's about to happen that I don't want to happen, in that moment I'm choosing devotion and not the emotion. Because when I choose the emotion, it steals my devotion from Jesus. So I want to be new. I want to walk like a new person. I want to be alive and free. I don't want to be controlled by anger. So I'm going to be devoted to Jesus, even though, and here's where it's so hard, even though everything inside of me tells me to get that person back. Everything inside of me tells me to respond to that message on Facebook. Everything inside of me tells me to respond to that driver who can't drive. Everything inside of me tells me to give that person the bird, and I want to, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to choose devotion, not emotion. And then here's another one, real practical. Count the cost. So you got to say, hey, is what I'm about to do worth it? And some of you are like, yep, boom, punch him right in the face, right? I know it happened, right? It's worth it, right? Felt good, right? But you got to count the cost. Count the cost. It's going to cost us something. And it could be with your marriage, it could be your kids, it could be your career, it could be your reputation, it could be your faith, it could be your witness, right? Your ability to witness to certain people. Count the cost. Is what I'm about to pay for this 5 to 10 seconds of feeling really good worth the cost of what's on the other side of my anger? Only you know that. But if you're honest, 95% of the time, we'll get that little 5%. 95% of the time, you're like, not worth the cost. This anger that causes you to sin, right? Then here's another one. Embrace the new you. Paul says this in a letter, the same letter, same chapter. He says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception, right? It's corrupted by all the things you don't want to do. But instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And then put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Here's what I've seen in all the years I've done ministry. Here's what I know. And I believe in the goodness of people. I believe people are good. Right? We have things that cause us to sin, but I believe that most people in their life want to change. And when I find people who are living a life that are of mistakes and messes and just disaster, they don't want to be there. But what if you start talking to them and you start getting their life and you start figuring out, we're trying to figure out why are they there, what I see happens over and over again, people say, hey Nathan, I want to step in this new life that Jesus offers. And that's the good news of the gospel, that Jesus offers everybody new life. I want to step into that. And they start pursuing that. And then something happens, a trigger, a temptation, a relationship, a bump on the road happens. And they want to step into the new, but they haven't thrown off all the old yet. And so how they respond is the way that they always used to respond. And because they respond the way they always used to respond, what do they get? The same thing they always used to get. But Jesus says, I know you're tempted. I know it feels right. But I've given you a new start, a new chapter. Take off that old nature. It's like taking off those old clothes and put on this new suit and step into this life I have for you. You have to see yourself as new. You have to embrace the new reality of Jesus working in you. You have to believe that if Jesus says he can make you new, he can make you new. Because if you don't believe it, you're never going to walk in it. You got to believe that Jesus is making us new. You're going to put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And you're going to let the Spirit renew you, chisel you, make you new, so you're no longer controlled by the things you used to be controlled by. And then the last thing, number five, is pause. Here's what pause means. Now, this is the best. Like, this is the best thing that's helped me. Now, Whitney will tell you, I'm not always good at it. Natalie will tell you, I'm not always good at it. But pause. So the first thing is the P. It literally means pause. For some of you, that means pause your mouth, pause your thoughts, pause your little fingers from sending that text. Some of y'all, pause your hands. I know you're a little rowdy, right? Pause your feet. And before I do anything, I'm going to pause. I'm going to start thinking. Now, this whole thing can happen very, very quickly, right? But I'm going to pause. And we're going to ask God for patience. God, hey, God, did you know when you made this person, they were this annoying? He's like, yeah, I did, man. They're going to test you. We're going to ask for patience. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God for patience to handle this situation. I'm frustrated at this or this or this. My kids, my marriage, my life. I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask God for patience. God, give me the patience to deal with this. Then I'm going to go to the you. I'm going to try to understand, why am I feeling this way? It's the why. And then I'm going to do the S. Stay close to God. And you know, in life, you know this to be true. If you've walked with God at all, and why I love Revolution is we have people who have walked with God for a long time and people who have not yet but are on that journey. And the closer you walk to God, you know what starts to happen? You start to change. And all of a sudden, when I'm close to God, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm going to life group, I'm serving, all these things, I'm close to God, and I'm walking with God, and God's walking with me, do you know what I tend to do? Make way less dumb mistakes. But the further I am from God, and the further I get from his presence, the more the things in my life control me that I don't want to control me. So stay close to God. Allow him to work in your life. Allow him to chisel and help you step out of the old and step into new. And then the last one is the E. I think we're really good at going through these at times, but I think we forget the E. Expect God to move. Expect God to help us with guardrails. Expect God to help us kill comfort. And expect God to help us control our anger. And expect God to deal with injustices. And expect God to do what he said he would do, and expect God to work in our lives. Pause, ask God for patience, understand, stay close to God, and expect God to move. And this is the final thing, as the band's gonna come out in a second, the final thing I'll say. If you wanna live a live and free life, there's only one way. It's to walk in the way that Jesus has for us. And I know on my own, when I try to control anger, I can't do it. But the new Spirit, the new that Jesus is bringing in me, allows me to control it. It may not be perfect, but I'm on this journey, this sanctifying journey to walk more like Jesus every day. And Jesus says, I want to offer you a life that's alive and free. It's uncommon, it's extraordinary. But you got to step out of the old life, the way that your old way of doing things, where Satan has a guest room in your life, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. But step into this new life. Don't let anger be something that defines you, but learn to control it and learn to walk like you're new and learn to walk alive and free. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful that you give us emotions. Father, when I think about anger, I thank you for Jesus. As Jesus' broken body laid on the cross and the soldiers and the crowds were mocking him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, I pray we have that mindset, that we learn to control anger because we have a Savior who loves us and has a life plan for us. God, we have so many different emotions and we're all wired in different ways. Yet you love us and you call us to a new life. And I thank you for that. So I pray that we change our relationship with anger, that no longer defines us and no longer controls us, but we start walking alive and free in the life that you have for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.